News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Morning, y'all. 6 minutes after 8 o'clock on FM Talk 106.5. It is Tuesday when we generally speak with Quinn Hillier, and even on this Fat Tuesday, Quinn has taken the time to give us a call. Of course, Quinn Hillier, quinnhillier.com, and the Washington Examiner as well. Quinn, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Happy Mardi Gras, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks, Quinn. First question, have you thrown everything in your house that maybe sounds even the slightest bit Russian? Have you thrown it down the drain yet? Because that appears to be...
That's the movement.
That's the movement right now.
I don't think I have anything Russian.
That's what we were... You know, everyone, obviously vodka comes up first, and you have Governor Ivey taking any Russian liquor out of the Alabama liquor stores, the ABC stores. And we've been kind of talking about this all morning, that it's almost like, well, it is. It's another form of virtue signaling here. I mean, I get the sentiment, but things that are already paid for and sitting on shelves doesn't make a whole lot of – it's like burning jerseys. Mm-hmm. It's like if I were to burn a Drew Brees jersey because he retired a couple weeks ago. That was the jersey I paid for.
in some ways, every little bit helps. But again, the only Russian in my house is all the Russian around we do if we're running late.
Ah.
There you go.
There it
Russian
is.
Russian around.
We didn't – 2 hours and us nitwits did not come up with that pun.
Well, it's been 2 hours in a week. So, yeah, exactly. But, Quinn, obviously this is a very serious situation over there. And we talked – it's hard to believe. It's only been a week since we last talked, and that was pre-invasion. Well, now we're – 5 days in, heading into on day six right now, and it seems the Ukrainian people are holding up better than a lot of people thought they would.
They are, and it's now time for the Russian generals, the Russian oligarchs, and the Russian people to step up and defenestrate, meaning evict, Vladimir Putin. Arrest him as a war criminal. Try him as a war criminal. He is not. He is doing terrible things, not just to Ukraine, but terrible things to Russia, and he's lost his mind, and it's time for a coup.
Do you think is that where we're at right now? Dalton and I have talked about these stories we're seeing about and see comments. You know, I mean, when you get somebody on, you got to talk about something. They're covering this thing 24 hours a day now. Putin's mental instability has been coming up in the last few days. Yes, no.
Look, I'm not a doctor, but to me, the guy looks syphilitic. I mean, his reasoning capacity combined with bizarre obsessions is different even from the murderous thug that he's always been. So I do think there might be something to that. Either way, what he's doing is objectively evil, and he needs to be gotten rid of. And some oligarchs are speaking up. Tens of thousands of ordinary citizens in Russia are protesting. You've got most of the Russian athletes, including top tennis players, saying that they disagree. The entire world is turned against Russia. It's time for the Russians to step up and get rid of this monster.
Yeah, and the economic sanctions, which is something we discussed last week, it seems that they are really wreaking havoc on the Russian economy. I'm seeing stories where they say the economy may not be able to bounce back from what's already occurred and that the ruble is a dead currency. But let's talk about those oligarchs because, I mean, they have been living right for the last decade and a half, 2 decades. They're buying soccer teams in Europe. They're living in high-rises off the Thames River in London. Buying Brooklyn Nets. These people have come to expect a certain way of life, and if that's taken away from them because of the greediness of their president, who made this all possible for them, you'd think that they would make some kind of movement, and
well,
soon.
Exactly. I mean, look, the word is that the generals aren't exactly thrilled with this military atrocity, and the oligarchs certainly are feeling the pinch. They were riding high. There's nothing in it for the oligarchs for Russia to take over Ukraine. It doesn't do them any good. They've They're not going to get even richer. But by the ruble being completely devalued, they're suddenly gone from, you know, super comfortable to very bad positions. The generals and the oligarchs need to get together and take action. They can take out Putin. There's got to be a way to do it, and the time is now.
Well, and let's talk about that, because there's word going along with whether Putin is mentally unstable or not, which I would argue, you know, he's probably fine with those rumors going around, because that's someone who you don't know. You don't know what his next move may be if he is actually insane. So I'm sure he's fine with that being labeled on him right now. But he's apparently been very isolated, especially because of COVID. He's been deathly afraid of getting that. So he's been literally living alone, basically. And anyone who comes to see him has to quarantine for a long time. And then they're basically chemically doused before they meet the president. They say he hasn't really been talking to a lot of those oligarchs who have been giving him some decent advice over the years and have maybe kept the killer side of him at least a little bit in check. I know he's been killing for years, but how do you do that? He has his finger on the button, and even within his own country, I'm just having trouble believing
it. This is how you do it. You ignore his orders if he orders a nuclear strike. There's actually precedent for this. Back during the time when the Russian leaders, you know, three of them were dying all within a short time in the early 80s, and so there was some instability before Gorbachev took over. There was a confusion, and the Russians literally, or some Russian systems were indicating that we had gone to either fire missiles or they were like on the launch pad and lit, in effect. And there was an order for the Russians that went down the line for them to do everything but fire the missile. I mean, you know, whatever you have to do to get it ready so it's one more push of the button. And there was a colonel, a Russian colonel, who said, wait a minute, despite the order, something doesn't smell right here. And he put a delay, and he refused to do it, and he refused long enough for the Russians to realize that their systems had, you know, had a glitch in them, and of course we had not launched a nuclear strike on them, and they stood down.
Oof.
That has now been well reported. You can Google it. There is a chain of command, and if people do not follow Putin's orders, then it's not like Putin himself has his finger on the actual button. Somebody else does.
Talking with Quinn Hillier, quinnhillier.com, and the Washington Examiner as well. It breaks your heart. You know, Tommy Tuberville said it pretty well. He said it's heartwarming to see the resilience in the Ukraine people, and it's heartbreaking to see the death and begin to understand the amount of death we're about to see. What is next over there, Quinn?
Well, what's next, it's still very much up in the air, because right now the Russians still have way more firepower, although their ground power is not as overwhelming as they themselves had thought.
Mm-hmm.
But I've got a column out that says the West needs to get even more serious. They need to kick the Russians out of the United Nations, which, by the way, is actually legal, more legal than anybody might have even thought. And having gotten rid of their veto in the Security Council, the UN as a whole, not the U.S., not NATO, but the UN as a whole should activate Article 42 of the UN Charter, which is, by the way, the single most important and main reason for the Charter, and that allows for collective defense. And the UN as a whole, the whole world speaking as one, should enforce a no-fly zone over Ukraine.
Have you ever seen anything that united all these factions so much with, you know, the European, certainly NATO, and the 30 country European conference, where everybody is suddenly on the same page?
Well, the whole world is on the same page. Even China wouldn't vote for Russia. They just abstained. But that's the point. This is I'm not a fan of the UN. I hate the UN in general. But there is one reason for it to happen, and that is for the world to act as one to stop aggression on an innocent sovereign state. And we can do that, and we can start shooting Russian planes out of the sky.
Well,
not we as the United States, but as the entire world unified together. Right now, Vladimir Putin is the single most hated man in the world, and for good reason. And there is good reason to go after him.
But that's quite the escalatory step, is it not, enacting that no-fly zone? I mean, would that that would be throwing your cards down, saying, listen, we're ready for war if you are.
But Russia cannot take on the entire world in war. They can't even beat the Ukrainians, who are half their size. If the entire world goes to war against Russia, Russia loses. If for some idiot reason Russia tries to send a nuke, who are they going to nuke? They're going to nuke the entire world? And if they do try to nuke somebody, they will be obliterated. They know they will be obliterated.
Right.
So again, that's why I'm saying this is not the U.S. fight. This is the
world.
Entire world's fight. And if the entire world speaks as one, that's different than if we're going over there trying to be policemen of the world.
I just right now, I think Putin's main ace in the hole are these hypersonic missiles that he can put one of those warheads on. And the U.S., you know, we've admitted, and whether we're bluffing or not, but we've admitted we don't have many options to knock those out of the sky. So that threat really is still there.
The threat is still there, but that threat is also mitigated by, even though, you know, we've got some very good missile defenses now, thanks to Ronald Reagan. But even if
we don't have hypersonic
defense, knock down the hypersonic missiles, but you go back to MAD, mutually assured destruction. If Russia does that to us, they will be obliterated, and Putin knows it.
Yeah, I'm just personally, and I know everyone has their own opinion, I'm just not sure I'm willing to put it on the table over Ukraine. And as sad as it is for their situation, it feels like we would need to see Russia escalated even further to get to that point. But I don't know. I'm not
well,
Joe Biden or anyone in
the whole world. Not this is not a U.S. fight. This is a United Nations fight.
Quinn, we'll hang on. We'll be back in about 4 minutes to maybe hit on is there another subject?
Well, yeah, and we've got some good text questions in as well, so we'll get those along to Quinn also.
On the way. Text us at 251-343-0106. Dan and Dalton, 19 minutes after 8 o'clock. Mobile Mornings, Fat Tuesday, FM Talk 106.5. 824, Dan, along with Dalton. Yep, we are live on this Fat Tuesday in studio on FM Talk 106.5 with Mobile Mornings.
Yeah, and Quinn Hillier still on the line with us. QuinnHillier.com, WashingtonExaminer.com. Also check out his, he writes a little historical fiction as well, the Matt Jones Trilogy, available on Amazon. And Quinn, one more question I have for you regarding this Russian invasion before we get into tonight's State of the Union. So China's role in all of this, and there was the rumor that they were helping bankroll Russia as the sanctions poured in. They've kind of, if anything, they have been seen slightly on Russia's side during any public discussions of this. But my wonder is, would this push us closer to China in a way? I know they're looking to see what happens here in regards to what their next move is with Ukraine, but I have a funny feeling that this country we've been trying to kick out of the U.S. and do away with any Chinese control of what we have going on over here. I feel like this might drive us closer to them in order to avoid a world war.
Well, I don't know. The Chinese are rather inscrutable. I do know, and please, listeners, Google this. Just last week, Joe Biden ended a very good program we had to stop Chinese intellectual property theft and espionage. And he just dismantled the program last week because some people said since it went after Chinese, it was racist against Asians.
Hmm.
I mean, go figure.
Please.
So, look, what this doddering old man in the White House does vis-a-vis China is anybody's guess. Right now, I'm just happy that at least, he's very belatedly started started moving against Russia economically. What he does with China, Lord knows.
So he had his announcement of his nominee for the Supreme Court on Friday, and
he didn't just go liberal. He went hard left. He had two other choices that were at least within the realm of the old liberal coalition, meaning, you know, liberal but not hard left. And instead of his three finalists, he went with the only one that is firmly identified with the hard left. This is not the Joe Biden administration. This is the Bernie Sanders administration with Joe Biden as a figurehead, and it's really disgusting.
But Quinn, I heard that Ketanji Jackson was very likable.
She is quite likable. She is an impressive lady. There's no reason to do personal attacks on her, but her record is fair game. Her record, you know, as a jurist, as a judge, as long as we keep it, you know, thoughtful and respectful, and you don't demagogue it. But the fact is that she is allied with the far left of the Democratic Party, which is quite far left these days.
So to wrap it up, we've got the State of the Union tonight. That's going to be a fan fest. What in the world is it going to point out over the last year that he's that what his accomplishments?
He's going to claim the economy's good, but look, you're supposed to at some point by tradition you have a statement somewhere in the first three paragraphs. The State of the Union is X. Well, if he were being honest, he would say the State of the Union is crummy.
Hmm.
Or the State of the Union is terrible, because it is. And, I mean, with inflation, we just got another bad inflation report. Inflation is running rampant. Of course, you know, the international situation, we're as weak as we've been since Jimmy Carter. This is not a good thing. And, of course, the nation is divided, and all he does is more divisiveness by going hard left instead of moderate liberal. Some of us could disagree with, but we're at least talking in the same American tradition. He's not doing that. He's going hard left. He's going Bernie Sanders. He's going Nancy Pelosi. And all he does is divisive. That's not a good thing.
And I don't think he can avoid being divisive tonight. You know, unless he hops up there for a quick little 5-minute speech, which we know doesn't happen with these states of the union or state of the unions. I'm not sure how to do that plurally, but you know, it'd be state. Who knows? But anyway, regardless, Biden. What does he point to as a win? I think he's got the Supreme Court justice nominee. You could consider that a win for his party there. Beyond that, the withdrawal from Afghanistan. I mean, he can mention that he got us out of that war. But it wasn't exactly the smoothest.
That war with in the single worst way possible, the most ignominious defeat for the U.S. in history, even worse than Vietnam.
So I think he's going to have to be divisive and blame a lot of this on the Republicans and the past administration. But
which is going to make him look even worse.
I think
digging his own hole.
I think so. Quinn, really appreciate your time once again for joining us. And how can people follow you on social media and online?
Well, to read my pieces, please subscribe to QuinnHillier.com. It's free, and you also don't get hit with a ton of you know, spam emails or anything like that. Or go to Quinn Hillier, Washington Examiner.
Okay, our conversation with U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville from last hour is on the way on Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. Dan and Dalton.
There, Dan?
Yeah. I got this cord. It's like an umbilical cord to my headphones, and it's about 40 feet long.
Yeah. Dan's in here.
I don't have an extension cord at home.
Accidentally choking himself with his own headphone wire. 835 FM Talk 106.5.
I'm Mobile. Blacking out.
Mobile Mornings.
I'm on the floor.
This segment of the show brought to you by Tobias McCormick & Comer, local law firm who, man, they love Mobile. They've been in Mobile for decades. And here's we enter the final day of parades in Mobile. And, you know, so several parades in Baldwin County today. They want to remind you how important it is to watch for pedestrians when you're out there on the road. Lots of people crossing roadways that we'll be driving on today. And even if you're a pedestrian, you should realize some of these stats. It's actually, it's amazing. Aaliyah says that there were 769 pedestrian-related traffic crashes in Alabama last year. And those 769 pedestrian-related crashes resulted in 125 pedestrian fatalities. That is a huge number. Whether you're out for a neighborhood stroll or maybe today navigating a crowded city street, you got to make sure you remain alert of your surroundings and be watchful for traffic. And vice versa. If you're driving around, watch out for those that may be crossing where there aren't crosswalks. There are many things that pedestrians and drivers should do to ensure safe experiences while sharing the roadways. And they have some of that information for you at tmclawyers.com. Just see safety tips for walkers under their news tab for more information. And remember, anytime you need to give them a call, Tobias McCormick and Comer have free consultations. That number, 251-432-5001. And you can visit them online, tmclawyers.com.
8:37, last hour, we were joined on the phone by U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville, live from Washington, D.C. We've got that interview for you right now.
A pleasure to be joined by Senator Tommy Tuberville, who has a lot going on, I'm sure, right now. Senator Tuberville, thank you so much for making some time for Dan and myself today.
Good morning. Just call me Coach. I think everybody knows me more as Coach. So that's what they call me up here, too. So glad to be on.
Glad to have you on, Coach. We've got some big things to get to.
Yeah, obviously, the international story that everyone's talking about, you can't avoid it, is Russia's invasion of Ukraine. And I know you've been outspoken about this and about what America should be doing right now. And as the sanctions continue to pile on, Putin continues to throw more soldiers into the Ukraine. I'm wondering, overall, from where we stand right now, you know, what should the next move be, Senator Tuberville?
Well, if you just look at what's happened over the last probably year, you know, we've been playing and leading from behind. We should have been supplying Ukraine with everything they possibly could have and need for the last year, not just us as Americans, but NATO. We knew this was coming. I mean, this is not a surprise. Now we're all jumping around acting like, hey, we got to get this, we got to get that. It's just bad leadership. But, you know, we are sending more supplies. We're sending more Stinger missiles, anti-aircraft missiles, but so is Germany. The one thing that if we've learned anything out of this, we've finally gotten NATO to come in together, fight together. Germany finally said, okay, we're going to leave our socialist state and decide that we're going to put money in defense and send some things over to Ukraine. So we're almost all united now. Mm-hmm. It's taken a while. It's taken a catastrophe in Ukraine, but, you know, they can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. This is a losing cause for Ukraine in the fact that they're going to pretty much get destroyed, their cities and their country, and you've got a dictator like Putin that's murdering innocent people. But it's just, you know, every day that goes by, what you see on TV, you can just multiply that by 10 or 20 times. Yeah. Because I've been there. It is a beautiful place, but I've seen places on television that don't even look the same as I saw a few months ago.
Yeah, U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville joining us on Mobile Mornings this morning. I know that President Biden has pledged $350 million or something like that to Ukraine. Is that enough? What exactly is, you know, what does that mean? What sort of things are they going to get from us and how?
Yeah, it's not money. It's basically we're sending the missiles. We're sending supplies that they can need. And there's a couple of staging places, one in Romania, one in Poland, which is on the border of Ukraine. Everything goes there. Nobody from NATO or America goes into Ukraine. What happens is they have these supply planes that Ukraine has. They fly into Poland or to Romania and pick up these supplies and fly them back into wherever they need them. Now, their airports are being bombarded, so there's going to be just a short period of time where we'll be able to continue to do it by air. And it might even stopped overnight. They might be having to truck it in, but we're helping with supplies. And, you know, they're not a NATO country, but, you know, we could have put sanctions on this time in the spring of last year and really put doubt into Putin's mind whether he wanted to do this or not. But we didn't deter him. You know, we let him plan. We let him look at the situation and say, hey, we can get this done and we can take Ukraine and put it back in the old USSR. And they're, you know, wouldn't do it with ease. But I think they found out pretty quickly that the folks in Ukraine they can't hold up, but they are fighting. Men and women are fighting on the streets, and citizens, not just their military. So it's heartwarming to see that happen, but it's a heartbreak to see the people getting killed, because there's going to be thousands of people killed in this, and probably in just the next few weeks.
That is well said. Heartwarming to see this fight and their pride in their own country, but so heartbreaking at the same time. Coach Tuberville, thankfully, this invasion isn't moving as swiftly as Putin may have liked, but what do you think his maybe end goal is? Does it stop with Ukraine, or do you think he's looking to move into Poland and some of these? Obviously, if he sets foot in a NATO country, that escalates things.
Well, you know, there's 30 NATO countries, right? And there's three of them that border the border of Russia, and Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania. And they're north of Ukraine. They're on the Baltic Sea. And, you know, is he going to go into those? Who knows? But he's not going to continue to go west. There's no way he's going to go into Romania, the Poland. Because if he does that, all heck will break loose. We'll be in World War III. I think he's smarter than that. But but who knows? I mean, this guy is he's a crazy killer. Obviously, he's gone in and killed innocent people. It was unprovoked. This whole thing was unprovoked, and it's about power. So we'll see what happens in the next few weeks. But, you know, we need to just pray for the people of Ukraine, because it is an awful, awful situation that they're in right now.
You know, we talk about energy. We talk about oil. We talk about what Biden's done to shut down oil production in the U.S. There's no way he changes course, right?
No. Hey, welcome to Joe Biden and the Democratic Party's new America. I mean, because their policies are contradicting to anything that we would do to go after somebody like Russia. You know, all the decisions that they've made in the first year have just been totally opposite of what President Trump's were, which, you know, he led from the front of the line. Joe Biden's leading from behind, because, I don't know, he's got some kind of interest in Russia and China that we don't really step up and say, hey, we're the number one superpower. And, you know, you're not going to go over our head with anything. You're going to have to go through us. And so it's a bad situation that we're in.
We're talking with Senator Tommy Tuberville this morning, and before tonight's State of the Union address, as President Joe Biden, for the first time in his presidency, speaks with the nation about what he has done to this point. And, Coach, I know you've been, for the last, year, leading the charge on getting those fences taken down from around the Capitol. I guess they came down for some time, but now they're going back up before the State of the Union. What kind of message do you think that sends to America?
Yeah, the Democratic Party's scared of their shadow. I mean, they are absolutely scared of Americans. They're scared of Republicans. They think that Republicans are people that are not on their team, and which we're not. We're on America's team. We want everybody to have a fair and enjoyable country. You know, there's not one American that's better off in this country today than they were this time last year because of Joe Biden's policies. You know, we got more crime, we got dangerous streets, we got dangerous borders, we got higher taxes, higher prices. Energy policies are just an absolute disaster. We all know that. Our education is getting worse with all this CRT, mask and vaccine mandates. Drugs are killing hundreds of thousands of people in our country a year now because of the drugs coming across the border. And he's going to get up there tonight, and I want to hear him say anything that he's done positive. He's going to say something about this infrastructure bill that was, I think, $1.2 trillion, and 80% of it is for climate change. It has nothing to do, very small part of it has to do with bridges and roads and really infrastructure. So when you hear him talk about that, you can kind of snicker going, well, he's going to say it's for bridge and roads, but he's not going to say much about climate change other than the fact that he's really getting ready to attack it.
He's got to have some creative speech writers to do a State of the Union address.
And yeah.
I mean, this is where he, in a year's time, points back to, here's what I've done, here's what I've accomplished. Coach, what can he possibly say?
Well, he's going to say he's been leading through the Senate. And again, he's got some things done but bipartisan. I didn't vote for this infrastructure bill. Hey, listen, I am all for infrastructure. We need it in Alabama. But for we had 12 or 14 Republicans vote for this mess that they call infrastructure, and it was just an appeasement bill. And again, I last week I was in Munich, Germany, and I sat next to John Kerry, and I about threw up. I mean, this guy is a non-elected official that is leading two things. He's leading the fight against climate change in our country, and he's leading to get Iran to sign a new deal where we can let them have a nuclear weapon. And, I mean, he's just detrimental to what any of us believe in. And he's non-elected. He's Joe Biden's best buddy in the Senate, so he's lying to do all this. But it's just, hey, we're in a situation where elections have consequences. That was one thing that I agreed with that Barack Obama said. Election has consequences. We've got 8 more months, and we have got to go to the ballot box, and we've got to run these goofballs out of there. Because if we don't, this country as we know it, that we grew up in, is not going to make it. And it's a country that everybody can thrive in, have an opportunity in, and gives everybody a chance to live a great and better life.
We're talking with Senator Tommy Tuberville here. And Senator, I'm not sure if you saw Climate Czar Kerry's take on this Russian invasion of Ukraine. He was worried about what it might mean for the climate down the road, was kind of his answer there, rather than what it means for the immediate future of the Ukrainian people. One of the things you mentioned earlier was immigration and how all eyes right now are, of course, on Eastern Europe. But it seems like there have been very few eyes from the Biden administration on what's happening at the border and what's been happening for the last year. How do we change this around? I mean, I guess it just has to happen at the ballot box in November, right?
Yeah, the Secretary of Homeland Security, Mayorkas, along with Secretary of Defense Austin, Milley, Joint Chiefs of Staff, Secretary of State Blinken, we had a hearing about a week ago. And they all come in to give us an update on Ukraine before all heck broke loose. And Mayorkas was talking about how we've got to protect the borders over in Ukraine and this and that. And we all get to ask questions. So I get up and ask him. I said, now I can understand we want to protect and we want Ukraine to be able to have strong and independent borders. Well, what about our borders, Secretary Mayorkas? What are you doing to ours? We're having people die every day because of drugs coming across. We've got 5,000 to 6,000 people coming across that we don't know who they are. And of course he perked up and said, I'm not talking about our borders right now. This is about Ukraine's borders. And of course everybody kind of laughed and I sat down, but it's just sad, to see what's going on. But in Baldwin County last year, the number of drug overdoses tripled over the last 2 years. And it's because of the borders. And it's because of the policies of Joe Biden and the Democrats of being no crime, let people out, let the drug dealers out, no bail. I mean, just absolutely ridiculous, opposite of what a free country is supposed to have.
Running out of time a little bit, U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville is on the line with us right now. I know you were in our area last week in Atmore, right?
Yeah, I was in Atmore, and the coastal growers were able to build a peanut shelling plant around $100 million, and I called it a miracle when I went down there, because it started a year ago, and through this pandemic that we've been through the tough times that we've had through our economy, getting people to work, they built that thing within a year, and they are shelling peanuts as we speak, and it's going to mean millions of dollars to the economy around that area. So I was proud of the coastal growers and what they did, how they did it, and they show what true Americans do when they put their mind to it. And of course they had to fight through all kind of regulations that Biden's been throwing out into our economy, but they got it done, and God bless them for that.
Yeah, it's great to see any time that these businesses can come into Alabama or expand their business and hire more folks. It's always great to see. And Coach Tuberville, we really, really appreciate your time with us this morning. I know we'll be paying attention to tonight's State of the Union and any response that might come from you or the Republican Party. But thank you so much for coming on with us. And, it's Fat Tuesday, so it's a party day down here in Mobile. Yeah. Anything to say to the people down here in Mobile and Baldwin County here the day before Ash Wednesday?
Yeah, well, just enjoy the day. I know it's a day what people look forward to every year down in south part of our country. It's a fun time. But also, while you're doing that, say a prayer or two for the people over in Ukraine, because there's going to be a lot of dead people in the next few days that are going to fight for their country there and their freedom, and they're not going to make it. And, you know, I know they're a long ways away, and sometimes it doesn't, we didn't think it affects us, but it affects every American, what's going on over there right now. It's going to affect us for several years to come. And so just say, as you're having a good time, say a prayer for the people of Ukraine and the president there, who's been a great leader, and hopefully they can work through this mess, and God will be on their side.
U.S. Senator Coach Tommy Tuberville, our guest on Mobile Mornings. Thanks again, Coach.
Thank you.
All right, Coach Tommy Tuberville there.
There we go. So that soon will be on our podcast page.
That's right.
If you want to, if you just caught part of that, many of you had a chance to hear it twice this morning, so you're good. It's 8:51 FM Talk 106.5. What's on the way?
All right, coming up, we'll wrap up this Fat Tuesday edition of Mobile Mornings and tell you what's on deck with the Jeff Poor Show coming up live in just a few minutes.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. Jeff Poor on the way. He's got Mike Morris with the Media Research Center, Chip Brown, State Rep, and also in the 11 o'clock hour, he's got a couple of guests, Paul DeMarco, the Jefferson County GOP chair, and Ray Millick. 1819 News.
Yeah, we are, I believe, officially now in the second half of this regular session.
I think we are.
And, you know, I was so far off base. I think last month I said we've got to be 20 days into the session. But no, we're just now getting to like day 16.
There was 20 days of news way before the 20-day mark.
Well, then sometimes you have like committee days. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Jeff can lay all that out because not every day counts as a general session day. But he's going to have Chip Brown on. You mentioned it. He has gotten a lot through this year. He's gotten a lot done.
Jeff, he cannot run down the parades today. That's the one thing he can't do, but you can.
Yeah, and it all begins in Gulf Shores at 10 a.m., the Gulf Shores Parade. But here in Mobile, you just heard Kane say it, 10:30, the Order of Athena Parade. Also in Gulf Shores, 11 o'clock, Lulu's Mardi Gras Anniversary and Boat Parade. That seems pretty cool. They get started again at 12:30 here in Mobile with the Knights of Revelry, and then King Felix Parade follows. The Comet Cowboys after King Felix. What do you think? More Pritchard Waterboard jokes from the Cowboys or Russian jokes? Which one do you think they'll have more of?
Hands down, Pritchard.
The Waterboard?
Waterboard, yeah. It's going to be the Pritchard Waterboard Hour.
That arrived late.
Soon enough.
But plenty to dig into there.
They had plenty of time to get their floats ready, I'm sure.
2 o'clock, MAMGA takes the roads, and that'll be on Route B as opposed to all the other ones prior to it today on Route A. Orange Beach Parade at 2 p.m. this afternoon, and then it all closes tonight in Mobile with the Order of Myths on Route C. And then that'll be a wrap for Mardi Gras 2022. We talked about it with Dr. Bill. I don't think I've seen a better stretch of weather for Mardi Gras, at least in my lifetime.
Yeah, and not only just the stretch of weather, it's peaking right at Fat Tuesday.
Yeah.
High of 70 today with sunny skies, and this weather, by the way, is going to stretch on through the week, so very nice.
Beautiful. Well, have a great Fat Tuesday, Dan.
Will do. Thank you, Dalton. We're back tomorrow to cleanse our souls and just try to get back on the right path here after Mardi Gras. Beginning tomorrow, Dan and Dalton, Mobile Mornings, FM Talk 106.5.